the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. It is certainly a blessing to be back here again this evening and hear the good songs of Zion sung. I like to sing. We had camp meeting back at home back in June. And one night, Brother Phil Hoskins preached, and he got to singing, "Won't It Be Wonderful There?" And my son went to the piano and just started playing. He was ending up his message. He's just walking all over the place. And he went to singing some of them verses. And God got in that place. And for about 20 minutes, people worshiped and rejoiced. And I've been singing that song everywhere I go. Sing it at, sing that chorus at the grocery store, or filling up gas, or going to the nursing home, or wherever. And I'm glad the Lord puts a song in your mouth, even praise unto the Lord. But if you're willing and able, would you stand tonight as we read from this portion of God's Word? I just want to say a word. I concur with Brother Younger that we need meetings like this. There's a generation that is coming on that have never experienced what real worship is about. They don't understand that preaching is God's manner and way to save the lost. It is not an entertainment. It is in preaching the gospel. I want to challenge you as churches, as pastors, to work together. And forward this meeting in the years to come. Camp meeting is not dying, it is alive. And one day we're going to go to that meeting in the air. And I've done seen a crowd over there singing a new song. Worthy is the Lamb. And if it ever dawns on you that John saw you standing there, you liable to have a fit on Sunday morning down at your church too. It occurred to me that John saw me in that number because I'm as good as there in the mind of our God. Amen. Verse 13 says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me." He said, "In faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost that dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that they all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. You can be seated. It's one of these water bottles for me. I'm going to take me one. Paul the Apostle, the veteran soldier of the cross, is writing his last epistle to this young preacher by the name of Timothy. And in these words that Paul pens, he speaks to Timothy about a certain comrade, a certain believer by the name of Onesiphorus, who was a tremendous blessing to the life and ministry of Paul the Apostle. For my time tonight, I want to look at this comrade by the name of Onesiphorus and draw some truths that I hope the Holy Ghost will take and challenge our lives with. The name Onesiphorus means literally a prophet bearer. When I use the word prophet, it is not the term that we understand to be one who preaches or foretells the things of God. Elijah was a prophet. Elisha was a prophet. But the name here is the word prophet that means gain, advantage, benefit, blessing. He said, Onesiphorus, every time you saw him, his hands were not empty, but he was carrying blessings and advantages and benefits our way. He said, Timothy, you know very well how he ministered unto us while we were in Ephesus. You were there, Timothy. You know how he helped us. You know how he cared for the work. Tonight, I want to be an Onesiphorus as God's man. I want to be an encouragement. I want to be a blessing and a benefit to somebody's life. I realize there have been people who have challenged my life as a young Christian, and I want to walk as an example to others and challenge them to walk in the same path of righteousness. God, help us to be an Onesiphorus in our Christian experience. You see, the Bible describes some people who brought blessings because of the Lord. You remember Laban says of his son-in-law Jacob in Genesis chapter 30, verse 27, Laban said, I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me because of thee, or for thy sake. You see, Jacob, ever since he had been in the household of Laban, God had smiled on Laban. God had multiplied his herds. God had met needs in his life. Jacob was an Onesiphorus in the Old Testament. There was another man by the name of Joseph, sold into Egypt, bought by Potiphar, and Potiphar made him ruler in his house, and everything Joseph did, the Lord made it to prosper because of Joseph. The house of Potiphar was benefited and blessed. Wouldn't it be a blessing that people would say of you, that person goes to such and such a church. They are a blessing. They are a help. They're not a liability. They're not a debit. They're not a hindrance, but they are a help. They are a credit. They are an asset to the work of Almighty God. I want to be that way. I want to tell you tonight, either you're part of the burden of the church you go to that is being carried, or either you're help bearing up under the load that the church has. You fit in one place or the other. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a hindrance. I don't want to be a holdback in the house of God. I want to worship. I want to encourage. I want to be faithful to God Almighty. Hey, there's a lot of people you'd meet that you'd rather not have to say, how are you? Because you know what they're going to say. But aren't you glad there's some folks, when you ask them that, they have a smile on their face and they give God glory and honor. They're not dragging at their feet. They're not feeling sorry for themselves. They are an Onesiphorus, a blessing, a benefit, a help to the church of God. Three things I want to say about this text tonight. Number one, I want to say something about the contrast that Paul portrays Onesimus in. You see, he introduces Onesiphorus by way of contrast. Now, some of you will understand this. Contrast has to do with a photography. I am not a photographer, but I do know that contrast is very important in taking pictures. When our children were born back in the mid to late 70s, our first two came along, we went to a place in Taylorsville called Smithy's Department Store. And ever so often, a photographer would come and set up in the store, and you could have pictures made of your children for a minimum cost. I could not afford to go anywhere else. And when we would bring our children in, if it was in the spring, they would be dressed in light-colored clothing. And that photographer would reach back and he would pull up a background that was dark. That is what is called contrast. And the reason is a dark background makes light clothing and light colors stand to the forefront. And if you were wearing dark clothing, they would put a lighter background in behind you. Well, Paul here is introducing Onesiphorus, and he does it by way of contrast. You see, there were those in Asia that had walked away from the Apostle Paul. They had turned away from the truth. That's probably why the Eastern countries of today are steeped in a false teaching and false idols. But tonight, Paul mentions two of them, Phygellus and Hermogenes. He mentions them first. I want you to understand. He doesn't talk about Onesiphorus to begin with. He talks about Phygellus and Hermogenes first. That's the order in which Paul presents them. He sets up the background first so he can put Onesiphorus in the forefront of God's people and magnify the fact that even though there are those who have walked away, Onesiphorus has been faithful. Onesiphorus has been surrendered. Onesiphorus has still loved the work of God. I say hallelujah. Tonight we talk about those who left. We ought to talk about those who are there serving the Lord, loving Him with all of their heart. The order. But the overture, I didn't know what that word meant. I knew it was a musical term because our youngest son is a music major. But I did not know what it meant. And you know what I done? I went to a little book called a dictionary. And you know, it'd help you a whole lot if you'd use that book every once in a while. It'll tell you what things mean. And you know what the definition of an overture is? It is an introduction to a musical production. It is the very onset or the very beginning. But the definition didn't stop there. The definition went on to say that it is the introduction that leads to something magnificent, something huge, and mammoth in size. Tonight, Paul was introducing here Onesiphorus with Phygellus and Hermogenes. They were just the prelude to what was affixing to happen. But something big was affixing to take place. I'm glad tonight there's some people in the house of God that have been there every service. You can talk about those who have turned away, those who are unfaithful, but I'm glad there are people that have found their place in the local church. They're there every time the doors are open. They are an Onesiphorus for our lives. The contrast. Then secondly, I want to say something about the character that Paul presents Onesiphorus in. He presents the character. You see, character is what a man is. Reputation is what others say a man is. Character can be seen in the life of Onesiphorus. And his character can be described by two or three one-word descriptions. I would use the word burden. Not in the sense that he was a load to be carried, but rather that he had a passion. He had a concern. He had in his heart a desire to see the gospel being preached. He was no doubt a convert of the Apostle Paul, had been saved under his preaching. I do not believe he was a preacher. I just believe he was an encouragement to God's man. He had a burden to see the preaching of the gospel propagated everywhere Paul went. He was not ashamed of Paul when he was placed in prison. He knew what the gospel had done in his life. He wanted to see it work in somebody else's life. I say hallelujah. The gospel still has power to save. The gospel can change a man or woman's life to the glory of God Almighty. He had a burden. He wanted to see it promoted and carried on through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Paul is nearing the end of his life. He is remembering this dear saint that had played such an important place, an impact upon his life. He was a man with a burden with the gospel. But I want to use the word beyond to describe the character of this man. For he said there in verse number 16, he said, he oft refreshed me. It is the little word oft. It is the root of the word we use in our English language, often. It means not just one time, not just two times, not just three times, not even four or five or six or seven. It is a word that means there were multiple times that Onesiphorus had been a blessing and an encouragement to the apostle's life. Oh, aren't you glad to be around people and rub shoulders with them that encourage you, that challenge you, that stir you to want to do something for God? I can remember as a young teenager driving my pastor to revival meeting night after night, preaching six nights a week for 35 weeks in a year. I drove him a lot of places and I'd see the anointing of the Holy Ghost on him while he preached. And I said, Lord, I'd like to have that on my life. Oh, hallelujah. He was an Onesiphorus to me. Oft he refreshed me, Paul said. You see, Jesus said, if a man compel you to go 1 mile, go another mile. If he asks for your coat, give him your cloak also.
Onesiphorus didn't go just the second mile. He went the third and the fourth, the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth. He just kept on coming. Wherever Paul found himself, you could mark it down. Somewhere along the way, Onesiphorus was going to come walking in with blessings and benefits and encouragement for the Apostle Paul. It helped some of you to go to church Sunday and instead of sitting there with your arms crossed, go to waving at your preacher and saying amen. Preach, preach, preacher. I say hallelujah. It'll make him preach better. It'll make you listen better. You say don't like our preacher. I'll tell you how to get rid of him. Pray the Holy Ghost on him. He'll preach himself to death. That's what I told my people. The Lord's privileged me to be there 29 years. And I'm glad, hallelujah, to be in the journey. I'm headed for home. And I praise him for his goodness to my life. The word beyond. He did that which was over and above what was required of him. He didn't live by the standard of you have to do it just one time and then you're not obligated. He felt like he had to do it time after time after time after time. Oh, God, give us some Onesiphoruses in our church again. But then thirdly, I want to look at the consolation that Paul pictures Onesiphorus in. He said, he oft refreshed me. The word refreshed is an interesting word. It has two main emphases. One meaning is to cool off. Say, preacher, what does that mean or have to do with being refreshed? Well, have you ever been out in the yard mowing grass or planting flowers or pulling weeds when it's 85 and 90 degrees? The sun's a beating down on you and you're getting hot and sweaty. And if you're like me, the sweat doesn't stop on top of your head. It runs down to your eyebrows and overflows into your eyes and gets all over your glasses. Now, some of you aren't blessed with that, but I see some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you're out there and you're tired and you're hot. And all of a sudden you hear the carport door close. And your wife comes walking out with a tall cold glass of ice water or a tall cold bottle of water. Some of you looking like your wife doesn't do that for you, but I'm glad I got a wife that does that for me. When I'm outside, she wants me to cool off. Hallelujah. I'll drink that good cold ice of water. And you know what? It refreshes me. It gives me energy and strength. It makes me want to just keep mowing on or planting on. It strengthens my life. Paul said, that's what Onesiphorus has been to me. Said, I've been laboring. I've been sweating and calling, in the work of God, I become weak and tired. And then Onesiphorus shows up with a tall glass of ice water and the good blessings of God Almighty. And it makes me want to preach on. It makes me want to serve on. I say, hallelujah. That's what I want to be tonight. There's a second emphasis. The picture is of a ship that is finally coming into port. It has been on a long and strenuous journey. It is limping itself into the harbor to moor at the docks, looking at the vessel. It is weather worn. The mast is split. The sails have rips in them. The tacklings on the sides of the ship were hanging low. The ropes were tethered and raveled. And there wasn't any flour in the galley. There wasn't any oil in the bin. There wasn't any nourishment on board. They had done ate everything they had in store. But it finally makes itself into port. That's the picture that Paul is drawing concerning Onesiphorus. He is saying there have been times when I have been preaching the gospel and my heart is weather-worn. He said, I've been through the storms. I have weathered the waves. My ship has been tossed and battered. My mast has been split. My sails have been torn. And there's no more flour in the galley, no more oil in the bin. There's no more resource in store to give me strength to carry on. And then all of a sudden, Onesiphorus comes walking up to the jail bars while I'm sitting there in my shackles. And he said, Paul, I just want to tell you, I thank you for preaching that blessed day and telling me there was a Savior who loved me and God saved me. And I just want you to know it's worth it. I say, hallelujah. His mast is splintered together and made solid. His sails have been mended and sewn. His tackling has been tightened. His ropes have been secure. Flour and oil is back in his heart. He's ready to tell anybody about the Savior. That's the kind of person I want to be. I want to give you one personal example, and I'm done. Y'all can get a song ready. I'm finished. I may have told this before, but pardon me if I do it again, because this person had such an impact on my life. Her name was Miss Gussie Rogers. She was the church clerk at my home church, Poplar Springs Baptist Church in Taylorsville, North Carolina, for 40 years. She was a woman of means. She was blessed, her and her husband, with much. But her character never did come through that she was up here and you were down there. She walked humbly and thankfully before the Lord. She wore hair up in a bun on top of her head. You don't see that much anymore. But that's the way she came to church. She was dressed probably better than others. And I can remember she wore dangly earrings. But I'm here to tell you, she was an Onesiphorus in my life. I can remember as a young Christian, we stood behind the young choir on this side of the pulpit, and the adult choir was over here on this side. And we as a singing that Sunday morning, Amazing Grace. Now I understand sometimes we sing Amazing Grace. But then there are other times when we sing Amazing Grace. That was one of them times we were singing Amazing Grace. We hadn't got to through the first verse, and I was standing on the back of the last pew, and I was looking over here in the alto section, the third pew over against the back wall of the church, and I saw Miss Gussie waving that hand toward heaven. We sang the second verse. When we got to the third verse, she got to throwing up both hands. And before we got done, she was shouting to the top of her voice. Didn't make any difference to her. Grace meant much to her life. But I'm here to tell you that Sunday morning, God put something in me that gave me a hunger to want to worship and to praise my Savior. I didn't worship that Sunday like she did, but God done a work in my heart that day. I have never got over. I remember the first time I ever shouted, and I hadn't stopped, and I ain't a-going to. You say, preacher, you're going to die. I understand that, but when I get over yonder, I'll be able to praise Him like I ought to praise Him. Hallelujah. It helps some of you to have a good, undignified fit. It helps some of you's arthritis. It limber you up if you just go to worshiping and waving your hands toward the Lord. She lay a-dying. This week I'd went by the nursing home and I met her son, her oldest son, and his wife. And the memories just flooded my heart again. When she lay a-dying, her family would read scripture and they would sing to her. She went into a comatose state for about 3 days. She didn't say anything. She didn't open her eyes. She didn't respond to anything. The family kept reading the Bible and they kept singing. One morning they came in and they sang Amazing Grace. They sang verse 1 and verse 2. And then they skipped to verse 4. And when they finished, Miss Gussie opened her eyes and said, "You didn't sing verse 3. I'm just here to tell you, grace was real in her life. And tonight she was an Onesiphorus in my life. I'm just trying to challenge you, somebody. Somebody's looking at your life down at the church house. Somebody's listening to you pray. I challenge you to pray in the Holy Ghost. I challenge you to worship. Somebody's looking at your life. I challenge you to preach under the anointing. Somebody is listening and somebody is getting help for their life. Would you stand tonight? God's looking for some Onesiphoruses.